NADBS mobile. W8FU. Good morning and happy hump day. W8RCY waving a hand. Well, yep, good morning. And, oh man, another day of work. I was supposed to take off Thursday and Friday, but I don't think I'm gonna now. How is your day looking? Well, we're still under this shelter-in-place thing until tomorrow, and then they'll make an assessment. And got tested yesterday. I'm still testing negative. I'll get tested again early Friday morning, and then we'll know where we're at. But really nothing new here. I haven't been on the radio much. I'm just doing some fall cleaning before winter comes in. And it's so nice out right now. When I got up at 5 this morning, I opened up all the windows and the door walls. Wow, two of them. But, yeah, it's just a nice breeze blowing in here right now, freshening the place up. Yeah, we fight over that at my place all the time. My wife, she wants, you know, in the winter, it's too cold. In the summer, it's too hot. In the spring and fall, let the bugs in. I mean, it's like, always got some reason she doesn't want the windows open, you know. It's like, I'd have them open all the time. I'd barely ever run the, close them up and heat in the winter, and then on the most outrageous days, you know, I'd close them up and do the air conditioning. But, man, days like today, open the sucker up, man. Get that air.
Well, in the wintertime, it gets so hot up here at my elevation that I don't even run the furnace at all, hardly in the wintertime. I'm in a T-shirt and basketball shorts. You know, and it's 20 below outside. But, no, I agree. If I can open this place up, I will. And right now, with the wind coming out of the southwest and this building of mine pitched to the southwest, I'm getting a direct hit through here. I can see my robe hanging on my door, my bedroom door, and it's just blowing in the breeze. And I'm going, geez, this is some strong wind coming through here. Well, my blinds are even rattling a little bit, but I got them tight so they don't rail too much. Yeah, I'll take fresh air any chance I get.
Well, let's see here. There's a flag. Yeah, a little breeze. Treetops aren't moving very much, so let's see just how high you are, because like I said, it doesn't look, I mean, there's a little breeze coming. The flag is flapping pretty good here. So I wouldn't call it windy.
Oh, I'm standing now at my bedroom window, and it's not as bad as it was a few seconds ago when my robe is hanging on my door and on a hook, and it's just flapping around. Now it's stopped, so I guess that was just a quick blow through. But for all those days we had of 80 degree temperature, which they're saying like 2 weeks straight of it, I mean, now this is just a nice subtle change and not a major drop off.
Nope, I can live with this. So I'm going to meet up, I think, with Wally and Dave and maybe Dakota this morning/afternoon for lunch. So got that going. Oh, man. Shopping contractors lately. Looking for somebody that can do a pretty major job for me. I don't know. I got about four major jobs, and I got to just, you know, they've had me at a analysis paralysis for a while, and I just gotta start the ball rolling. That's the only way you can't tackle them all at once. You gotta just pick one and go.
Are they business or hobby related? Because I'm, you know, wondering about Richmond still.
No, this is all personal stuff, just things I need done around the house, big projects. I got to get a couple things done before winter. Several things going to set me back some bucks. Got to get all that done before the weather gets really bad, and then I got to start focusing on the house. Got a couple of projects in there. Because I'm thinking about retiring, not terribly long. I'm not going to say this year, I'm not going to say necessarily next year, but I am close, real close. You could say day to day, so got to be sure that everything's ready at the homestead for that.
Well, if you need help that doesn't involve a ton of heavy lifting, I can volunteer and help a little bit here and there. If you need an extra pair of hands, you can count me in. I just got to be careful with my back. But, yeah, I'd be willing to lend a hand, or actually I have two, so I can lend two hands to the project if there's anything you need with. So I'm available.
Well, I appreciate that. Most of my stuff is, though, heavy lifting, and that's why I'm hiring it out. So my son come over last week, Thursday, Friday. He gets Thursdays and Fridays off at his job. You know, of course, he's, you know, young, still pretty agile. He said, oh, yeah, we can knock that out. I'm like, yeah, you know, you get 2 days a week off, and they don't line up with mine. I just see you and I starting this as one more project unfinished for me. So I'm at a point now where better to pay the man and get these things knocked out than to have these dreams of myself and my son knocking it out. But they are heavier lifting projects that, you know, I look at it and I just shake my head and go, nah, I can't do this. So anywho, but I do appreciate it, and if anything does later, after I get these heavy lifts out of the way, then perhaps. But right now it's just some heavy lifting, so to speak. Even I'm using that metaphorically, but it is heavy lifting. Then I got some antenna work. Now that would be, I could use some extra help for that. Got to get some antenna work done and all of this before winter. On the ground.
I'm laughing over here because I said, oh, I'm not going to climb a tower, and then you chime in with on the ground. Yeah, you read my mind on that one. I don't even do a step stool now, and I got to get my kitchen light changed. And normally I do that myself, but I got to have maintenance come out and do it because, you know, they don't want you on a step ladder and fall down and have a cleanup in apartment 803 or so. All right, well, I will let you go. I will let you get your day started and find your coffee spot to stop at. And there's probably a few other guys that want to talk to you in the morning while you're on your way in. So have a great day. You know, don't work too hard. And I'll let you know on Friday about Saturday what's going on because, you know, Friday's a special day. And I don't know if I'll be comatose Saturday morning or not. So I'll touch base with you then. Have a great one. W8RCY, we're clear after your final.
Wait a minute, before you go, what's a special day Friday? What? I missed that. I know you said something about getting tested. I didn't hear anything else.
Oh, I thought you knew. Yeah, it's another day. It's another trip. It's the start of another trip around the sun. It'll be my 68th trip around the sun. Damn, 68. I won't be able to believe that.
Ah, okay. There you go. Yeah, I just had my 63rd. What was it, last week? Yeah. No. I don't know. Maybe a week ago. The 15th, anyhow. So about a week ago. So, all right. Well, I'll try to remember that. And if by some chance I don't, it's because I got to I suffer from CRS, but happy early birthday until then. All right, catch ya. W8FU.
Well, I thank you in advance, and it is much appreciated. Yeah, it's hard to believe, but I got a brother who's 76 and a sister who's 75. And like I said, I just had my 50th high school reunion, and we're all looking at each other like, damn, we're all like 67, 68, 50, and here we are now 50 years ago, you know, 17, 18, 50 years ago, and it's just so hard to believe. But, it was a fun time. All right, WERCY, we're gone.
KE4ZYQ. Say it ain't so, Joe. John, I'll give you early notification. When you retire, one of the biggest things you'll be surprised at is pretty much forgetting knowing what day of the week is it, because you're not going into work all the time. It's kind of funny. They do have a clock out there you can buy. It doesn't have, the hands don't tell you the time. It tells you what day of the week it is, and I'm being serious. Back to you.
No, I can imagine, you know, I mean, without the grind, every day starts to look like the others. So, yeah, we debated for a long time whether, you know, to sell and move to something more appropriate as we age, you know, things like steps and, you know, and, some accommodations, you know, my wife wants a walk-in bathtub, you know, things like that. All these things, you know, we thought, well, you know, just sell and go get what we want. But, I don't know, after evaluating it, looking into it and all this for a while, we just said, you know what, we're probably better off just doing what we want here before I retire and then getting it right. So, I can't lower the house, though. It's always going to have steps getting up into it, so I'll have to consider putting in a tastefully done ramp in preparation for those less-than-mobile days.
Well, I hear you about that because, yeah, I'm retired now, not by choice originally because of disability, but, boy, am I glad I got a condo, one level. No stairs go up and down, and the laundry room is on the first floor. If I had to go in the basement every time to do laundry and drag it up and down, I'd be in trouble. I mean, I get around, but I wouldn't say like I used to. But a lot of amenities, you know. When I know you probably live in a house, but I'm in a condo, so no yard work, no outside painting, no outside maintenance, no lawn, you know, bushes or snow removal, and it's all taken care of. So I didn't realize when I got into this that it would really be a blessing at this time. Back to you.
Yeah, and that's what I kept thinking about. You know, do I really want to, you know, give up the property? Because I got almost an acre. And do I really want to give that up? And I don't. But I was saying earlier, I was chatting with Don there about having some major projects, and that's it. I got to transform the yard somewhat. It's fairly, I wouldn't say wild, but we love it that way. You know, it's kind of a nature preserve. I got deer living back there, and all sorts of other stuff, and I enjoy it. But if I'm gonna tend to it, you know, as I push into my 60s here, I'm going to have to, I've got a riding mower. It makes it fairly short order, but, you know, the hard part's the shrubbery and the bushes and everything like that. You know, that's the part that requires upkeep. I'm just not doing anymore, you know, just it's hard. So I was part of it was thinning that out to a much more manageable level. So, but I'll tell you, man, the thought of having like a condo or something that, you know, I don't have to deal with any of that. I used to think that I'm going to want all my ham radio stuff in retirement, but I'm thinking more, I'd rather have no obligations to the outdoors. More. Just go buy a little lot somewhere and do everything remote. I don't know. Just rambling of an old man.
Okay, E4, said like you. Yeah, well, trust me, I didn't think about when I got this place about being old, and because I was always active and, you know, moving and not getting around doing my own thing. And, but when I got in here, I thought, well, you know, I had a couple houses. I've done lawn work and bushes and snow removal and all that. And not a big property, but, you know, about a quarter acre originally. So, but when I got this place, I thought, you know, the good thing is when we had a storm or tornado go through, geez, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 5 years ago, and the subdivision had some damage to the roofs of every condo, the association under its insurance paid for brand new roofs from the bottom up. You know, they took everything off, put brand new everything on. And that would have been about a $20,000 to $25,000 thing if you had your own house, if you had to replace it. And I thought, man, that was back in 2012, a new roof, all the amenities of the outside maintenance and upkeep. You know, bushes trimmed, they replace sidewalks and driveways if you have a broken sidewalk or driveway. So there's so many things here that I couldn't afford paying separately in a house if I had to do it than what I got. So, yeah, it definitely a benefit. Back to you.
So at the condo, you buy it, right? And then there's what kind of fees are after that? Probably an association fee or something?
Yep, QSLVAT, association fee per unit, per person, or per resident. And it's a three-digit figure, beginning usually with a 2. And that includes all your water, all your outside maintenance, lawn keeping, trimming, feeding, weeding, feeding, mowing, trimming, bushes, gutters. They clean the gutters a couple times a year, snow removal, painting every 3 years, anything outside trim that has painting. And I'm ahead anyhow because they replaced the roof back in 2012 due to the hail. That Dexter got hit by a tornado. We got hail here. The new roof is probably about a $20,000 roof that was put on due to the insurance of the HOA. So I'm way ahead of the game. Back to you.
$2-something a month or a year?
Around $220, $222, $223 per month. But when you figure about all the water, that covers your water and garbage and all your outside maintenance. That's not bad, right?
No, not at all. I was just like, I've always heard those fees being annual. I'm like, that can't be annual. That's ridiculous. But okay, yeah. So that's okay. I looked at my dad and my stepdad. They both had mobile homes and a really nice complexes. They had a, my stepfather was in the one at 22 Mile and between Van Dyke and Shaner, and my dad was in the one right there by Yates Cider Mill. And man, they were beautiful. You know, these things, they checked all the boxes, and you still had a little autonomy, right? You had your own little, you know, driveway and shed and, you know, and a little lawn and all that. They did take care of the major things. You had more of that, you know, more obligation than a condo, but you still had a lot less than, you know, the snow and I don't know about the grass. I'm not sure if the grass was done or not. But anyhow, so I thought, you know, we could do something like that. And then I started looking at them and I saw the lot fees and like, holy cow, I could have a mortgage practically for that. You know, it's like, so I don't know. But you're right, it includes services and sometimes utilities. So, you know, there is that. But I don't know. I think long and hard about it. You know, right now I'm stubborn and I still want to put up towers and big antennas and do all sorts of ham radio stuff in retirement. I don't know. I got to weigh everything. I'm still pretty good at I can do most everything I need to do. I have my days, but I'm still okay. But 63, man, it ain't going to last forever.
KE4ZYQ, yeah, I hear you. Well, like I said, I didn't plan on being disabled or not being able to work, let alone do some heavy stuff like the other gentleman was talking about. But, you know, you get up in years, you never know. And I was pretty active when I was younger and working and all. I'd go to the grocery store and I'd walk down every aisle whether I needed something down it or not after work or something for the weekend. I'd go up and down every aisle at Costco or any of the grocery stores whether I needed it or not. I'd kept active, but hey, you know, fate sometimes and genetics can catch up with you. And not too terrible all the time, but you know, things happen that you just can't predict or expect. But anyhow, no, but yeah, I'm glad. It's amazing where I'm at right now, Sean, because if you sat in my driveway outside any day of the week or a year, you'd swear I was out in the county or country, because you don't hear that much noise back in a subdivision that's a in and out, a separate in and out, or a one-way in and out, not through traffic. So you don't get through traffic, you don't get a lot of noise, even though you're in the midst of all the business and hospitals and, you know, stuff like that. And off the main drag, like Hall Road. It's amazing. Back here.
Yeah, good deal. No, that sounds like a real option. So, yeah, I don't know. I gotta think about it. But I got some stuff I gotta do anyhow, no matter what. But if I could get the yard much more manageable, I think I got a few years. I wouldn't mind just, you know, passing the thing off to my son. I know he wants it. And so wouldn't mind finding a way to do that, maybe. So doesn't matter what I put into it. It'll probably stay in the family.
Yeah, I had to smile over here because when you said your wife wants a walk-in shower tub or whatever you call it, tub, I've been wanting one of those for ages. I could probably have one put in, but just like, not yet. But, yeah, I don't blame you about the place you're at now. Keeping it in the family, that way if you have major functions with family or group of people, you got that. I don't blame you.
Yeah, if I could get him to commit to a little bit more of the upkeep, we could work out a deal. But he's only a mile south of me, you know. But his days off are really weird; they don't align with mine at all. He gets Thursdays and Fridays off, and then during the week he works. He goes in at like 2 and gets up at midnight. So it's just, it makes for very difficult to maintain any kind of regular rapport with his work schedule. But if I could get him to commit to at least keeping up with the outdoor, the yard part, and the you know, basic stuff around the house, then we could probably make a deal. So, hey, I'm pulling up here to the window at Starbucks. I got to get my pay device out, all that good stuff. Say good morning to the person at the window, and I'll be back in a moment for a few anyhow. K4ZYQ from W8FU.
Yep, K4ZYQ, standing by, listen.
Okay, got my quad espresso shot. All is good in the world. Anyhow, yeah, as far as that, you're still there, Joe, as far as that walk-in tub goes, I got to renovate the whole bathroom, and really what I need to do is I need to probably have a pro come in and eyeball the place and look at maybe, I hate the thought of doing a major addition at my age going into retirement, you know, because obviously I'll be either using funds I don't want to use or floating a note or something like that. And I mean, neither one of those is ideal, but it's probably the best way to go. You know, you talk about first floor laundry. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about having somebody come in and add on some stuff that appeals, or, you know, that mitigates some of that mobility issues I foresee coming, particularly for my wife. And and then in the end, it makes the house more marketable, right? So just a lot of, you know, my analysis paralysis of all this has made me sit here and do nothing for 5 years.
Yep, K4ZYQ. Well, sometimes when major decisions like that or those are up in the air, sometimes it's best to just step back, think a while, get the information, and just let it hang, because sometimes when the answer don't come to you, or you have the answer, it'll eventually come back to you, and something better might work out. I've had that happen where I've put off something, and then something better came along or worked out even better than the original plan or thought or idea. So, you know, sometimes inactivity isn't necessarily negative or bad. It's a time to contemplate, collect information, and see what the options might be down the line. And financially, things sometimes work out better than originally.
Yeah, while I will agree that that is true, that's not the case for me. It's like, I really had some of these decisions I should have made before COVID. Then COVID hit, and, you know, nothing was happening then. And then, the lumber prices went skyrocketed, and that kind of really made me go back and say, whoa, now is not the right time. And then inflation and interest rates, and, you know, started going up. And it's just like every possible thing has gone wrong for this. I should have done before. And, but, you know, it is what it is. And, I had been of the mind we were leaving, you know. My wife has always not wanted to. So, you know, we've had that, we've struggled with that. And I think now that I've shopped around a little bit, my kids moved back into the area from Texas. And so they're not far from us. They're only about 15, 20 minutes away. And I thought about looking about something right in their community, like, you know, walking distance to where they live. And I saw a couple of nice places, and they were just about perfect and all that. And then I saw the property taxes. Jeez, oh, God. I just, like, no. So that put me back in reality and looking more at Stan. Anyhow, Joe, I just got my coffee here, and then I made the final approach. I'll let you put a ribbon on it, and then I'm going to get inside here and start my day.
Yeah, well, have a good one. Have a good day. Good trip home, safe and all. But, yeah, I hear you about the changes in this and that. I don't blame you. But 7-3 from KE4ZYQ, going to be clear. Listen out.
All right, Joe, we'll talk to you later. WNFU.
KEATFM.
WATHBX. Hotel Bravo X-ray.
KF8S Mobile.
KE8VSI Mobile.
KF8S Mobile. I know Hayes is all jacked up, so I guess I'll go down Shaner.
This is the first part there. I said I'm a little early, but I'm rolling. Yeah, I'm going to turn right on 24 mile, take Romeo Plank-ish, and see where that takes me.
Yeah, I'm rolling a little early, too. My meeting got out 15 minutes early, thank goodness. I always like when that happens. I was worried it was going to go late. That's why I said 12:30.
Ah, very good. You could take 23 miles. My nav's got me going to North Avenue. Hayes couldn't be too bad rolling through that. But, excuse me, either way. Cool, your meeting's out early. I'm freaking starving, haven't eaten yet, so should be good.
Yeah, my concern is they got it, like, down to one lane when you try to cross Hayes, and it backs up like crazy there with all the traffic. So that's why I'm backtracking to Shaner. I'm going to take Shaner down. I may actually take 22 over, but I don't know. We'll see. I haven't decided yet, but I'll get there somehow.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's hit or miss, though, because, yeah, it does definitely gets messed up and backed up both ways, north, south, east, and west. But there's times I've sailed through on the east-west part, too, so hard to say. But, yeah, you'll be all right taking Shaner down.
Yeah, it just takes three or four lights just to turn left to go south. It's like crazy. But I'll have to deal with this for about a month here.
Yep, and then your world changes yet once again.
Yeah, world changes, and I can't say, oh, well, this won't be done in a month. It's like, I got to live with this now. But I was looking at 18T fiber, and I put in my new address, and it says, yes, it's available. And you get up to 5 gigabits per second. It's like, I don't know anybody who would pay for that. Because unless you have a need to upload at 5 gig, because you're not going to get a download. Even, I don't know, no one device is going to be able to use 5 gigabits.
Yeah, you would have to have some serious stuff going on to utilize that. But then there's the people that think the bigger the number, the better everything's going to be, even though that's not true.
Yeah, I'm actually considering, you know, and I'm a power user, I'm actually considering just doing the 500. Because I really just need the uplink. You know, that's where I have the issue. And I'm not going to get more than 500 down from Wi-Fi unless I'm, like, right next to the... You have to be, like, within 20 feet of the access point to get gigabit Wi-Fi speeds. Because other than that, you just got to use wire, right? So, I don't know, 500 might actually be enough for me. And it's really cheap, like, $65 for that one. And that's with the equipment. You're not renting the equipment. You know how some of the providers charge you for the modem.
Right, yeah. Now, 500 should definitely do you fine. And that's, what is that going to be, synchronous or asynchronous? Synchronous, both up and down?
Yeah, 500 up and down and unlimited data. So it's like... very tempting. Knowing me, I'll probably just hit the gig just to say I have gig, but I'll make that decision. But I gotta like start scheduling all the installs and stuff soon. Like I said, I was gonna wait until October to deal with that. I'm gonna meet with my sales guy and go through some things with him tomorrow. And whoa, there's a ball in the middle of the street. Oh, my God. randomness.
Well, the street's having a ball. Yeah, whenever you can get a list of all the things you got to get installed or ready or whatever and get it all mapped out, I'm sure you've got it somewhat done in your head already.
Yeah, I keep on telling myself I need to make a list, but then I just hit mentally in my head, but yeah, I'm going to try to get everything organized this weekend, or start this weekend, and what I need to do, and all that fun stuff, but I'll talk about it more when we get there, but yeah, traffic is a little bit heavy right now, and just trying to turn, I hate all these left turns, if I was making right turns, I'd be there by now.
Yeah, you should have come up to 24 mile. I'm smooth sailing.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid M59. I just don't like M59. I'm going to take 21 to north and then take that down.
Oh, I agree. I'll be only crossing it as you will, but I'll be crossing it on north. So, all right, cool. Oh, you will be too. All right.
Stuck behind a mail truck. the blinkers on.
I'm behind a dual tandem or dual trailer dirt hauler, so slow going southbound for me now on North Avenue.
Yeah, see, you're already on North Avenue. I just hit Hayes in 21. That's how slow the traffic was over by 23 Venus.
Yeah, you gotta get out of that mess. You should be okay now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. If it's lunch, it's because it's lunchtime, or seniors are out doing their doctor appointments, or, like, it'd be interesting to see the specifics, you know, could be kids going to school, you know, college kids going to school. Like, what is the stats of all the people that are out about right now?
Yeah, maybe someday we'll have live stats on all that information. It would be cool to look at. Something changed with that transmission from you. It was didn't repeater 100%, and your modulation was quiet.
I might be talking quieter. I got it at mid-power. Still really bad, or what? Going into the Warren repeater from 21 in Hayes, I could probably go into Mount Clemens, I guess, but I don't have it in the PMG memory at the moment.
Oh, you're fine now. And, yeah, I'm on the Warren as well. So, all good. KE8 PSI.
KF8SF, Garfield in 21, eastbound. WAOCY, enjoying the entertainment. They made it time.
There was a double there. It was something about your estimated time, Dave. That's all I got. And good afternoon, Don. Go ahead.
I came over. Okay. Sorry about the double. WARCY. I'm just sitting here kicking back, enjoying the entertainment as you two try to find your way to the luncheon place.
Well, you're closer to Warren, so you'll win. 11 minutes, that's what I was trying to say, 11 minutes until I arrive. So you're ahead of me, Greg.
All right, roger that. Yep, mine says 4 minutes. And yeah, Don, we are utilizing our many forms of communication just for the drive-in. But hey, that's what we do.
Well, it sounds more organized than it does over on the other side of the world there, and I'm glad I got my ham ticket because this is a lot, like I said, a lot more organized entertainment than, you know what I want to say, but I can't say it. Anyway, enjoy your afternoon, enjoy your lunch. Good to hear from you both. W8RCY, we're clear.
Yeah, roger that. It's two different worlds. Each has their own place, so, I'm glad I got them both, though. It's kind of nice to have the options.
Yep, I'm not trying to contact the station in Ohio.
I was not going to go there, but anyway, it is a different world over here, and I'm getting more and more used to it. W8RCY.
KE8 VSI successfully crossed Hall Road.
You've gone through the wall. that's what I like to call it. But yeah, it's like the separate. It's so amazing how that one road is like a dividing line, and nobody wants to cross it. Either if you live, it's not even like a social thing. It's more of like nobody ever wants to cross M59. It doesn't matter if you're north or south.
Yeah. Even like traveling on east or west, back there, you know, east of Van Dyke all the way over towards Elbridge, the whole stretch of the Pacific. Plus, years with the reconstruction, what, three times over? That's worse than 696 being rebuilt from 94 out to 75 a few years ago.
Yep, this is true, but, you know, with all the stuff we have going on in our area, I mean, I still like the Detroit area. I get a little bit refreshed perspective of that. My wife, mom, and kids are in St. Louis right now, and they're not having a good time. They're actually, we're going to take a train home, but they decided they wanted to take a rental car. There's a lot more to it than that, but it's like, they just like being back here. I mean, it's nicer in the Detroit area, believe it or not, than St. Louis.
So I agree. Part of that might be because they're in an unfamiliar, you know, they don't know where to go and things like that. Well, hopefully their time will get better. But if they're that anxious to get home, they can rent a car. I guess they want to get home. I get that, too.
I am going to clear out and let you gentlemen continue your conversation, and I'll just sit here on the couch and just chill. We're under a bit of a COVID situation here at my campus, and I'm fine. I'm healthy. I got tested yesterday. I'll get tested on Friday and go from there. But, yeah, we're not under a lockdown or anything like that. We just got to be a little more precautious. So, again, gentlemen, enjoy your lunch. Enjoy your afternoon. Good to hear your voices out there, and no interruptions. Do take care. WARCY.
All right, Don, enjoy your afternoon. I have arrived. I'm going to go in, so I'm going to be clear as well. KEAPSI. See you shortly, Dave.
All right, talk to you both later. 6 minutes out. KFADA. Dakota, KFADS Mobile.
Driving to my Sterling Heights yard to put in a computer. What are you doing?
We just got done with the lunch bunch, I guess. You missed a delicious corned beef sandwich, so we'll do it again, I'm sure. Oh my God, that's a big sandwich. But yeah, now just driving back home. I'm gonna probably drive by my house since it's on the way.
I know, Sean invited me, and of course I had crap to do this morning, and then I had to run out to this today, so I had to get some computers ready, so. I know, I gotta hook up with you guys. It's been a long time, and I do love making duty duties.
Yeah, we're hoping to do maybe this a little bit more often, but, you know, it's always, you know, your schedule and my schedule, and, you know, Greg can adapt and all that stuff, but I just happened to be available today. Just had morning meetings, and I got to get back and finish some stuff because I got the next 2 days off. So you know how that is. It's a pretend Friday, and you got to get some stuff done before you take days off.
Yes, sir. Got to check off your to-do list so you can enjoy yourself. I'm ready for a day off. I don't know when I'm going to take a day off, or why, or how, but I'm ready. I think I'm going to wait until it gets a little bit cooler for some hunting season, and then hunting season, and then I'll probably take like a Friday off and roll into a long weekend, but I'm ready. I know I only started here 2 months ago, but man, fast pace is an understatement, so I know you always see these job postings saying fast pace, and they're not fast pace, but this one, they didn't tell me it was fast-paced, and my God, it's fast-paced.
Yeah, I'm surprised to go through so many computers like that, and for a waste, or, you know, for the company, what your business does. I would have never thought of that. Is there, like, corporate offices and satellite offices and things like that?
such a remedial, mundane, you know, it's got to get done in the background task, and it's constant. But when we hire, at headquarters, we hire two to five people every week that need a full workstation set up, and then we hire probably 10 to 20 drivers a week that need tablets. So hardware is a huge part of what we do, and I actually just took that over from the director. I'm like, here's the deal. I'm like, you don't like spending money, I do, and you don't have time to do it, and I don't really either, but I'm better at it. So I've been in charge of procurement now, so I basically have to source the hardware, buy the hardware, configure the hardware, deploy the hardware, and it's not the worst thing in the world, but then when you got the other side of it where you've got to create the users and get the licensing and assign the licensing and then configure all the software that they're using, nonstop. But yeah, I mean, we've got headquarters, and then we've got yards all over Michigan, and then we just keep growing, so it's a nonstop chore with two guys. It's hard to keep up.
Well, it's a good position to be in, and you're definitely getting a lot of experience doing it. You know, you've got the procurement side, and you got the working side. I'm guessing eventually you're going to pawn some of that provisioning and all that stuff off on somebody else if you can find somebody to hire for that, and then you'll just be doing the managing side.
Yeah, we talked yesterday at lunch, and all came to the conclusion that we need to hire at least one more guy by the end of the year, hopefully two. So if I get two subordinates, I'll be in good shape where I can delegate these, you know, remedial tasks that are time-consuming, and I can focus on the important things. So he can focus on the even more important things because he is the director after all, and he needs to start planning going forward rather than, you know, living for the day.
Yeah, from what I've seen in these type of situations where you got, like, two guys doing, like, the hard work, and it eventually pays off. It doesn't seem like it at first, but you guys are at the foundations of growing a group, and I've been fortunate to see my, you know, when I first started with my group at my job, and we were kind of like in that same chaos mode, and to see it get matured to a point where it grew, and then, you know, people grew with it and all that stuff. I mean, and opportunities were created. So I mean, it's not. Hopefully, you have the same success like that.
Yeah, I mean, no pain, no gain. So we know, we both came from NSPs, so we're no stranger to chaos and trying to get things done with lack of resources and time. So that helps us both from a mental state and productivity. So we're looking forward to it. We know we're in a good spot, and we got our heads down. We keep pushing forward until we're never going to break through, right? Like, it doesn't happen in the IT world, but until we can breathe a little bit.
Yep, it's all triage and focus on what's important, what's needed now, what's nice to have, what do we need before we can do it. Yeah, it's really, it can wear you down, but if you've got a plan and you take it in small increments, then yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, we're at the tail end of that GFL acquisition from when we bought them, so we're still cleaning up the mess that we inherited, and then once we get through that, you know, I'm sure we'll be on to the next one, but we've learned a lot, we've established a lot, and I think, you know, next go-around we'll have a way better process in place, because we're not figuring it out for the first time, we're just following the script.
W-E-T-T-T.
Go ahead, Captain Don, get us off the subject. In a good way. I mean that in a good way. Go ahead.
Well, I just realized I found the Dakota and Dave technical net. I wanted to say, hey, Dakota, how you been?
Captain Don, I've been good, man. Hope you're doing well. I was just telling Dave, I gotta hook up with all you guys. We gotta get together before the winter shows up. And I'm gonna get back on the air here. I'm gonna jump into the HF world again, I think. Dave, I don't know if I didn't tell you yet, but I'm not buying a mobile. I'm gonna buy an HF rig and get back out there. But no, it's good to hear from you, Don. Go ahead. I don't know who's got it. Glad day.
Yeah, I'm just driving by my house. Yay, I got a garage door. It looks nice. I got to take pictures. So I'll be right back. You guys talk for a bit. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. Okay, Peter.
Hooray for the garage door. And are you liking your new place, Dakota?
Yeah, we love it. It wasn't hard to outdo ourselves from where we left, right? Like, the house we were living in was built in 53. It was in a village. The guy that built it kind of just DIY'd the hell out of it. So moving from that to a new build is a very, very nice treat. And the fact that we live on a little bit of property now is also a huge plus. So happy to be there. Just got to get the... I gotta get the basement cleaned because it's still got dirt and crap in it. It was never thoroughly cleaned. And then I need to build it back next year, which is not gonna be super cheap, but I think I'm gonna do a temporary one until we pour a patio. And then I gotta get a yard. He quote seeded, and it looks like complete garbage. So we got that ahead of us.
Yeah, you know, you can try, if you're not going to do the yard this year, is try doing frost seeding like I do with my food plot. When the weather gets to where it freezes at night but then thaws during the day, walk out there when it's froze in the morning and spread some grass seed, and then that frost and freezing and unfreezing, seeps it in the soil, and then it might grow without having to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, that's my plan. I got a quote for $19,000 to grade and hydro seed 2.25 acres, and I texted, it was my buddy's company too. I'm like, you are out of your effing mind if you think I'm going to ever pay that for grass. I'm like, I live in the boonies now, so if it's green and I can cut it with my mower, it's good enough.
Yeah, no kidding, that's a lot of money. I mean, grading, I mean, if it needs to be graded, I guess, you know, but that's still, it can't be that much, because, shoot, they totally regraded my driveway and dumped limestone and all that crap. This was like 10 years ago, I need to do it again, but they did all that for like $100,000, man, and he really had to regrade the driveway, because the way it was, the street was higher than the garage. So all the rain was going in my garage every time it rained. So he had to really dig it down coming from the street. And then he dug it down at an angle coming from the garage. And then now that runs off into the little creek I got next to the right of my, or left of my garage.
Yeah, just grading alone was like $2,000. And I'm like, okay, that's reasonable, but it didn't include any topsoil. So then I got a quote for topsoil. I needed like 40, we estimated 45 to 60 yards. So that's another $2,000. So then I'm $4,000 just to spread some dirt around my yard, and then I gotta buy seeds. So call it $5,000 to get some grass in. I'm like, I'm gonna borrow a buddy's York rake and tractor, and just trash my yard and then throw some seed down and see what happens before I spend anywhere near that kind of money on, you know, what used to be a farm field next to a farm field. Like, this isn't like I live in Shelby Township or Rochester Hills. You know what I mean? Like, just as long as my yard's not muddy, I don't care.
Right, yeah, and then if that don't work, and you want some nice grass, you know, close to the house and maybe in the front yard, then maybe look into spending some money after you find out it doesn't work that way. That's just crazy, man. I never even thought about that, but, yeah, I definitely would do what you're going to do, try to grade it myself, and even if you rent a Bobcat or whatever the heck you need to use to do it, to level it, and then I think you can rent them for what, like $150 a day, and then buy some seed and get one of those seed spreaders like you got for food plots. You walk around with it, and I've planted a whole 2-acre food plot with one of them things, and it's just crap comes up good. Shoot, I'll come over and plant clover for you for your yard. I always have to because I was doing that.
Trust me, dude, there's a big portion of my yard that I want to do in clover because it's a low spot, so I thought about doing a whole yard clover, but then I just want to do more, so I do want to have somewhat easy grass to cut, but The worst part is, like, that $19 quote, there's people out there paying that, and more. So I was like, no, I'm not doing that. No way in hell. I don't know. Come by one day, if ever. I'll rip around on the side-by-side. They're legal in Lapeer County, which I'm sure you're aware of. But I just rolled into my site here. I got to find a parking spot and get some hardware inside. And I think I'm going to go home after this. So I'll be clear if you're in, and I might catch you later this afternoon. NADDF.
All right, yeah, I'll have to figure out where you're at and see how the trip would be on the side-by-side. Cool. All right, I'll catch you later. Good talking to you, Dakota. WHCPT. And I'm on the road again for a little while anyway. On the road again. All right, so what, you got a white garage door or did you pick a color?
It's a white garage door. It looks nice. It matches the house. It's kind of threaded or whatever. I mean, it's designed to go with the design, the whatever they call it, elevation that we did. So it does. It looks nice. I didn't really stay too long. I just kind of like snapped a picture and right lane closed it. They opened Garfield Road. Between 23 and 24. I just saw traffic on it. It's like nice. So I don't know if that helps anything with your drive at all, but Garfield 23 to 24 is open now.
Yeah, I read it was open all the way to 25 now last week, and I haven't went that way yet. I usually take Chaner, but if Chaner ends up getting too backed up, maybe I'll take one of the my roads, shoot over to Garfield, and see what that's like, because from 25 I can get pretty much to Wetzel area. Once you're in the Wetzel area, I can take all dirt roads for the most part if I want to.
Yeah, I'm going to have to drive up that. I want to try it. I want to see what they've done. I mean, there's really nothing between 23 and 24. Like, there's nothing built up, no houses, nothing, because there never used to be a road there. So now they got all that area there to build houses and stuff. So I think it's going to build up pretty quick. But there was traffic on it. There's two ways of traffic, and people are taking it. It's basically like, so you don't have to go all the way to Romeo Plank, because that used to be the alternative. And Romeo Plank kind of swerves over. You know, it's like further east on 23 mile, and then you go on there, and so it's like it's out of the way, so they really needed it, but just amazing at how much they're growing the area over here.
Yeah, roger that. It's, I'm surprised it's not more grown up further into Romeo and that, because when I started working out there in 1997, everybody was saying, oh, just wait, when you're getting ready to retire, this is going to be like Sterling Heights, and it never got that way with stores, at least. I'm sure there's more houses than there was way back then, but, yeah, I would have thought it would have expanded more, but then we had all that economy crashing and all that stuff, and then a lot of the farmers don't want to sell their land, which is probably a good thing, because the more farmers that sell land, the less country we'll have out there, but, yeah, anyway, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, it's still going to take a while. I mean, I imagine it's going to be at least another, you know, seven years or so before they start even getting there, because there's still places that they can build right now, and, it's not too desirable to live over there. I mean, it is and it isn't. You know, you are pretty far away from things. Like, when I was in Sterling Heights, you were pretty much central. That was, like, to me, I felt like I could go anywhere for a 15-minute drive, right? And now it's a lot longer now, depending where I want to go. But anyways, I'm back at my house here, or home, or whatever. So I'm gonna let you go. I'll listen out, though. KFADA.
All right. Did you say you're going to your Sterling Heights house?
No, I'm back at the apartment. I'll probably be on the node in a little bit, but I gotta take care of a few things, and then I will be monitoring over there. KF8. Alright, I must have been hearing things. I'm thinking, what we gotta go there for? Alright, I'll catch you later. I'm gonna be driving north here in a little bit, so I don't know if I'll be on the node or if I'll be on here or just doing nothing until I get home, but I'll catch you later. WEPT.
KE8 VFI. NADDF mobile.
ADDF from W8RCY. Dakota, are you on the air?
Mr. Donald, how are we? W8RCY, NADDF, did I lose you?
Ah, there we go. I got a pitch now. Yeah, I got a suggestion for you with your back 40.
Let's hear it.
I grew up in St. Clair Shores, just, you know, a few miles north of Detroit there along the lakefront there. And I know of two people that have entirely cemented their front lawns and then took their lawnmower and had them bronzed and stuck in the middle of it. Maybe you could do that with the backyard.
I don't know if I can afford that. Have you seen the price of concrete recently?
Well, I can't say I have, and I forgot to mention they did paint the cement green. So, you know, it just needs a repainting every 10 years once the sun fades it. But I just remember those houses in St. Clair Shores. You drive by them there on Jefferson. One was on 12 Mile, and the other one was on Jefferson, and you just drive by, and it was like, what the? And, yeah, they painted them green, and bronze their lawnmowers and had them cemented right in the middle of it, but it was just a suggestion. What do I know?
That is a bold commitment to just one day be like, I'm never cutting grass again, concrete everything. My aunt lives in Phoenix. Her house is like that. It's all, she doesn't have any grass. She's got her front yard is basically all driveway and sidewalk, and then her backyard is a port patio, a hot tub pad, and then the rest is just rocks.
Yeah, I have a connection out in Phoenix that has the same thing, and then my daughter lives in a concrete jungle where she doesn't really have a backyard or anything. She has a small patch of grass out front, sidewalls on either side, and it's like some kind of communal living kind of a thing. It's not even a condominium residence, you know, or made of duplexes or anything like that, but her and her husband are happy living that way because they're never home. They both work a lot of hours, and I guess that's the way they live. But yeah, I can understand the rocks and you know, the sand and the cactuses and things like that out in Arizona for sure.
Yeah, like when I was talking to Captain Don earlier, as long as it's green and I can cut it, I'm happy. So there's different strokes for different folks. I got family friends and whatnot that, you know, they've got over an acre and they push mow it so it's manicured and they fertilize it and blah, blah, blah. So they're not interested. I just want grass or something green, some sort of green vegetation that keeps the dirt down in my yard and something I have to cut once a week. As much as I don't like cutting grass, it's not the worst thing in the world when I have to go sit on a mower for a couple hours.
Yeah, I definitely copy that. When I was younger, because I'm the youngest of three in my family, and my brother and sister were off to college, I got stuck cutting the grass. But then I came up with this allergy gig, and I got out of it in a big hurry. So I didn't have to cut grass in my teenage years at all. But anyway, it was just a suggestion, that, you know, something I remember from my younger days over on the east side. And it wasn't just one house, it was two houses. And I don't know about their backyards. I never saw the backyards of what they did at anything back there. But that's how it was back in the 60s.
Well, I appreciate the suggestion. And trust me, I've thought about it. If I can afford to put turf in my yard, I think that's the route I'd probably take. Have the whole thing tiled out, have AstroTurf on top, never worry about it again.
But on another note, how's the ham world been treating you?
I'm not complaining. I like it. I mean, I'm getting used to it. I'm doing a lot of monitoring and listening. I mean, you know, I've been complimented that I do know how to use a radio and talk on it. I just got to learn how to operate the radio because, like, just now, this dual band works on, works off that I have. I accidentally kicked out the repeater and put it in simplex mode while I was switching bands, and that's why there was that dead space from me. But I'm enjoying it, and, yeah, took me 50 years to get it, seeing that I'll turn another round of the sun coming up this weekend. But, yeah, it's a lot easier than what it would have been 50 years ago for me with work and eventually, you know, getting married, having kids, divorce, and all this and that. And my life now has caught up to the point where I could actually stop, take the 2 months to take the test, and now I'm just going to see where I go from there. I mean, I'm limited to HOA and those kind of things, but I'm just, for me, it's, I just, you know, I'm glad I finally did it, and, you know, people like the late Professor Don and stuff, and friends like Sean and others that were, that I first hooked up with, convinced me to do it, and I'm glad I did it.
If I don't catch you this weekend, happy early birthday. And it's definitely a little more organized than the GMRS side, wouldn't you say?
Well, I've been around GMS and GMRS in some form of FM radio, some of it being commercial, since 1978. But that's my limitations, 440 and 490. And, you know, being on the 70-centimeter band now, is a nice, quiet, different extension. And yes, I do enjoy the protocol. I do enjoy the formality of it. I still have to get my QTHs and my phonetics down, but because I was raised on AFCO, what law enforcement uses. But none of the 10 codes, just their alphabet was. I'm more on that side than I am on this side. But it'll all come to me. It's just going to take a little time, but I am enjoying it. And like, you know, people like Dave there, you know, helping me, assisting me not only change to a vanity call sign, but coming up with the suggestion that he did. Yeah, kudos to him for that. It's much easier for me.
The more you chat, the more it'll sink in. I remember for the first, God, I don't even know. Eventually it just clicked, let's put it that way, but I was in the same boat where the verbiage and all that stuff, I'm like, I have no idea what the hell anyone's talking about. And then, you know, you Google things when you hear it, or you ask, and then you just hear it used in context, and everything starts to make a little bit more sense.
Well, guys like Sean, you know, he's been an amateur operator forever, and he's so used to this, their call signage, you know, 1x3s, 2x3s, 2x whatever, you know, all that. He knows that, and when he came over to the GMRS side, he was lost. Yet, for me, it's the other way around, and I actually started a spreadsheet for my people that I've talked to on amateur now over the last 6 weeks or however long it's been, and yeah, I got a little idiot card cheat sheet that I have on my phone to look and remember people's call signs for the amateur side.
Well, fortunately for you, majority of us have a vanity call that is usually our initials or nickname. So there's a good bunch of us that have that. And then, Dave, I think you're referring to KF8S that told you to do your vanity call, and I think it makes perfect sense the way you explained it to me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when he mentioned it to me and, you know, because mine was similar to his there when my initial call came out, KF8BXS or something like that it was, and it was kind of like it sounds too much like his, and he came up with the idea and the suggestion. Plus, he helped me hook up with the people to help me do it. I had to pay a little extra fee to do it, but yeah, he was I got him nicknamed the genius. For coming up with that's for sure. But, and that's another thing, too. I'm so appreciative of all the help that I've received from people, like I said, Professor Don, Sean,
Dave, you, everybody, Greg. I mean, I've been getting all these plugs. Phil, one of Sean's friends and everybody. I had so much support and backing that when I finally got the time in June to take and dedicate two solid months to taking, you know, the practice exams, I used ham radio prep, and I walked in there, and I can't boast because the guy there told me, he says, if you miss three or less, you can't boast about it. Well, I missed less than three, and I passed. But the fact of the matter is, ham radio prep, I'm going to use it when I start looking into the general. I don't know if I'll go general. And I mean, I'm interested in getting the license for it, but I don't know if I have the capability of doing it.
Yeah, we've got a good group of guys around here. That's what got me back on the air, is I miss talking to them, because your radio buddies are not always your buddies that you hang out with and have dinner and drink beer with. So, you know, I kept in touch with them via text or a little bit of social media here and there, but I didn't get to talk to them, you know, weekly, daily, like I have been. So we've got a great group of guys, and they're all very helpful and knowledgeable, and that's really what, I mean, Professor Don, rest in peace, and then, you know, Sean, the Godfather, those two got me into radio, and you know, Dave kind of groomed me from there and really showed me all the different avenues and facets of things I can do with it. And, you know, it's a downward spiral of getting into the hobby. And I definitely recommend general. I was super against it when I got tech. Like, I'm never going to do it. And then I got general and I absolutely fell in love with it. It's so much fun. I miss doing it. I'm looking forward to getting back into it. But if you can pass tech, you can definitely pass general. So even if you're not going to do it, I sound like Dave. If you're not going to do it, just get the license and have it.
Well, back on August 6th when I took my test, it got delayed start. People were coming in late. People showed up without their FRN numbers or didn't even have an FRN number. And I seemed to be the only one who had a cell phone that could get internet in a room that had no Wi-Fi, because I actually have data on my cellular account. So I was looking up people's FRN numbers while others were taking their tests, you know, so that put me on a delay. I got out of there late, and I was asked if I wanted to take the general, and I said, no, I've got a headache. I've been here already 2.5 hours and then some, because I arrived a half hour early. And I just said, no, I'm not going to take it today. And, yeah, that's the only reason why I didn't take it that day. Would I have passed? I don't know. I did a little bit of the practice stuff on ham radio prep, and I wasn't doing too high.
For future reference, I don't know if they still do it, but I took tech in general online, and I want to say between check-in time, me testing, and me getting results was less than 20 minutes. It was so painless, so smooth. I booked the test for the evening that I was planning on taking the test. The people that were proctoring the test were super, super nice and very, very patient and helpful. And it was just it was a Zoom call. So something to look into unless you're one of those people that want to go there and have a pen and paper, or pencil and paper, whatever it may be. But yeah, general is basically the evolution of tech. It's a little more technical, but it's similar principles. It's just, in my opinion, it dove a little bit deeper than what you studied for the tech.
Well, I appreciate the support. Like I said, I have more time now. My health is better, and unfortunately, my mom has passed on. And well, we just finished up at the end of May, early June, her estate and probate and all that. So that's why I had the free time to stop and take the 2 months worth of lessons and the practice exams for the lessons, and then to the practice test. And trust me, I took 1,000. I don't even know how many practice exams I took, but I know it's on the score and it's online of how many I did take. And I'm afraid to go back and look. But yeah, like you said, though, you know, some people just take the general just for the sake of it. They may never use that level, but it's just a good thing to have and feather in your cap. And living in a high-rise senior campus, I am limited to what I can hook up here. And so, I don't know, but like I said, we'll play it by ear, and I will let you get back to what you were doing, and pleasure talking to you and catching up with you. I'm still on the other side, but either way, WRCY, 565 or W8RCY. You won't get it wrong. You can find me. Have a good afternoon, and thanks for your time.
Pleasure talking to you, as always. It was good catching up. We'll have to do it again soon here. But let me know what you end up deciding on. And, yeah, that was one thing I was considering, too, is HF isn't as simple as an HT or, you know, something in the car. Usually a little more involved than that. But, well, if you decide to take it, good luck. Have fun studying, and I'll catch up to you later. And this is NADDS, and I will be clear and monitoring.
Copy. Take care. KPP. W8SU.
KF8S.
Like the weather is breaking a little, you know, darker clouds, but if it doesn't look like no sort of rain, I may go for a power walk tonight. Or should I bike? What's the guy to do?
I find biking more enjoyable. By the way, I signed up for T-Mobile. Get the bigger plan, because I think I'm going to need that mesh hotspot thingy, or that mesh thingy.
Roger, you'll get the cool router with the external antenna connection. So if there's any issues, you can always invest in an external antenna, but you shouldn't have any problem with where you're going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to try it out here at the apartment, and that way I can work out all the things while I'm kind of waiting to move in, and then I'll probably just bring it with me over there. I think I just have to call them up on their 800 number and say my address changed, and then my internet just comes with me. And I could just do that for a little while and then figure out if I even want to do fiber, because if it's good enough, why bother?
No, I agree. That's what I was going to do. And, you know, but then I thought, man, if this works. So we got those, you know, that got that CGNAT stuff to work out, but, you know, if that's workable, you know, that's workable, and so be it. I am really curious to find out if you were to get your own modem and do one of these, you know, because you could get your own, you know, router and mesh network and all that stuff and run an external modem. Now, the price is starting to, you know, compound, you know, everything costs money, but you could do it that way and presumably get rid of this, but I don't know how. You know, like I said, it seems to be an idiosyncrasy of the way they do things, and not a hardware issue.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as fast as fiber, to be honest with you. But if it's close enough, then it'd probably be good. I'm trying to target the $50 mark anyways. Like, I don't think I need gigabit symmetric. I probably could be fine with 500, to be honest with you. And I think AT&T wants 65 for that. So if they can do 500 and 500 and at 50 bucks, then they're already beating AT&T.
Oh, yeah, this fantasy that everybody needs, you know, 1.2 gigabyte, you know, internet service is just nuts. For what? You tell me why. And 90% of people that have, you know, gigabit couldn't tell you in any way what, you know, why they need gigabit. But, now I could probably get away with 300. And, you know, and the big thing is the up, right? You know, if I can get... And I don't need 300 up, but it's nice, you know, when you're looking at some of those, you know,
fiber plan to 300 symmetrical, 500 symmetrical. That's nice. But I'm sure 500 symmetrical, Jesus, I can't imagine what I would do that would require, you know, 500 up and down.
Yeah, it's more copying files. Like if I needed to send you a movie or something, I don't know. So I was going to send you a movie file or something, and you really needed it really fast. Then, and you had gigabit and I had gigabit, then we would be transferring. You just think about it, you'd be transferring almost at local LAN speeds, you know, if you got gigabit LAN. So, and you're both on wired connections. That's kind of cool. Could you imagine? But then, you know, you're going to reach, well, with T-Mobile, you're going to reach a data cap. They do say if you go over 1.2 terabytes, they may throttle you if they need to. And then they also, you're also subject to other data priorities. So if you're, you know, if everybody in the area is using the tower, you might be subject to that as well.
Yeah, I specifically didn't name the use cases, you know, where you would need it, because most people would be hard-pressed to tell you where they need it. But, yeah, you're right. You know, regular large transfer files where you need, you know, the speed, you know, serving up Plex, you know, or something like that, or any other kind of, you know, serving up massive amounts of bidirectional streaming, things like that. Most people don't need symmetrical, but that is where you're going to likely find your choke. You know, your downside is, I don't know, like I said, give me 300 up down or 500 up down and I'm golden. So I've been really amazed at T-Mobile's down so far, you know, so we'll see how it holds up, you know, over all the different scenarios. You know, there's going to be, you know, what happens in a storm, what happens in power outages, what happens, you know, are they susceptible to outages, are they going to be, are things going to get crazy on Super Bowl Sunday, you know. We will find all these things out. Maybe a year from now I'll be going, I kicked them out. That's the other nice thing. There's absolutely no contract. And there's no, my phone service through them is not dependent in any way on the internet service. The internet service gets a major discount by having the phones, but the phones are not affected in any way. So if I decide, and there's no contract on the internet service at all, so, you know, 6 months down the road, I find out, you know what, it ain't working out for me. No muss, no fuss. Here, take it. You know, or just keep it as a backup for $10, you know, as long as I got, you know, for $10 backup, hell yeah.
Yep. Well, they do say they want their equipment back canceled, so you're kind of borrowing it, I guess. This is all the equipment's coming with it. It's like $370 worth, I was looking. And, you know, I might just do this as a 15-day trial, because you do get a 15-day trial according to what I see. Yeah, I think you said only new customers, but I don't know if that means new home internet customers or new T-Mobile customers, but at the very least, I'm just out 1 month. You know, they say, nope, sorry, that's not applying to you. You can still give it back and only spend $50.
No, that free 3 month thing is only, you know, they'll activate an eSIM on your existing phone. So if you have a compatible device and you have an eSIM available, you can go, you can log in, and they'll let you activate your phone on their service, and you get 90 days unlimited, you know, so you can run around with it and use it. They have no such thing for internet or anything like that. It's just they'll light up an eSIM and give you 90 days on it. But yeah, you're right. You've got the 15-day, you know, period where if you get the internet service and you're finding it's not working out for you, you can send it back. And I don't think they charge you anything in that case. But yeah, you're right. They do want their equipment back. But if you were to just say, you know what, I'm not going to
I don't want full. I just want to throttle back to, you know, to regular or even backup. But you got to keep something. They're likely to just like they might want to return the mesh pods, but you probably still keep the router, or maybe they send you a new router and they want the fancy router back. I don't know. But if you keep the $10 a month backup plan, they still got to have a router in your house. On another note, did you actually run your new address along with your old, you know, the current address to see if they offer service?
Yep, I did that last night. I was just poking in there, put my new address in there for both AT&T and for T-Mobile. It says they're kind of like scaring you. Limited spots available. Hurry up now. And like, okay.
Yeah, man, that air gets congested fast.
Yeah, so I'll be able to try it out here, and I was looking at what does it take to move. All you do is you call their 1-800 number and say I'm moving to another address, and there you go. I'll have internet day one. I don't even have to call AT&T right away. So that was kind of my thing. I can work out all the, the carrier-grade NAT crap and trial run with T-Mobile, and then when I have it with AT&T or whatever, if I decide to go that route, then I'll know what to do, just change where it goes and all that stuff.
If I'm not mistaken, though, when you say AT&T, that's because it's AT&T fiber up there that they pre-wired for. I don't think that would suffer the carrier-grade NAT issue. Or are you talking about... AT&T 5G? Why would you run that up there as opposed to the bargain you get with T-Mobile?
No, I was checking both internet and the fiber. I mean, fiber AT&T. Don't confuse with their air. They have the AT&T Air or whatever. They have the same thing with like T-Mobile. But no, I was looking at the fiber. So the fiber is available all the way up to 5 gigabit, and then the T-Mobile is available as well through the air. And so I know I can do either or both, you know, if I decide to do backup plan, and should be good. But I was, you know, just checking if they're available, and then I looked at what it took to move. So I could, in theory, probably I'm gonna try it out when I get it, and I may just cancel Xfinity right away, even though it's gonna be like a month. I can get a pro rate on my bill if this thing works, right? And so I may do that. That way, I can just turn the modem in early and not have to deal with that crap when it comes time. And we'll see. I don't know. I haven't decided what to do right now. I'm just gonna get it to try it out, and then we'll. Turn off Xfinity if it's good enough.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run this for, just a couple of days here. Once I'm sure all the bugs are worked out and everything like that, I'm going to give Xfinity the boot. And then if I find I want to do something else, I wasn't going to go back with them anyhow. I'll call WOW or 123 or whoever the hell I'm going to. Probably 123 when all is done. That's who I really want. Get the 123 stuff in there, much like you, the AT&T fiber, 6.5 dozen the other. But no, I thought I heard you say that you're gonna have the same problem with AT&T, so you're gonna get this carrier grade NAT stuff figured out. I thought, well, why would you have the problem with AT&T? That's fiber. You're not gonna have any of that carrier grade NAT nonsense.
Oh yes, I will. AT&T does the same thing. They put you behind a double NAT and all that stuff. My friend's got it. So he doesn't have any ports. He needs to forward inside so it doesn't bug him. But he says, yeah, he's double NATed. He's got his other router in front of their, you know, behind their thing or whatever you want to call it. So he does the Wi-Fi through their box, and then he's got his – so he doesn't have a separate, like, Wi-Fi access point. He just uses the – He's very anti-Wi-Fi, my friend. So he's got everything wired everywhere that he wants internet, and he only uses Wi-Fi basically if guests come over his house.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I heard the Haitians are stealing our Wi-Fi, but Yeah, okay. I didn't realize that if you went AT&T fiber, they'd be double matted and behind. All that seems odd to me. I should call 123net and find out what they're, you know, what they do. And it might be the sign of the times. Figuring this out might be the way to go, because it seems like it's becoming increasingly a sign of the times. I don't know. Anywho, just need to get you know, zero tier or one of those. Probably just the way to go. End of story. And what do you do in zero tier? Do you make up your own IPs and pass around like non-routable IPs to the program, and then the program handles the outside IP, or what? How's that all work? I guess I'm just not clear on how that tunneling resolves the issue.
Yeah, I guess I'll talk to it from the tail scale side, because I'm not really that familiar with zero tier, but I think it works in a similar way. So with tail scale, you have what they call a tail net, which is basically you get a little console, you go on the web page, and you have to have a little daemon that runs on every machine that you want to have an IP address on the tail net. And what it does is it's using WireGuard between things, and it's got like some kind of protocol that's able to let each other know how to find each other. So basically you have a closed little mesh VPN. So I could have my laptop at a cafe, I could have my server in the cloud, I could have a device at home. If they're all on my quote-unquote tail net, they all have IP addresses and know how to find each other and route between them. So it's all using like a mesh VPN type thing with a little bit of a negotiation lookup between each other so that they can find each other. And they can actually like form a direct connection to each other if it's able to. So then the ping times are the latency is pretty low. But in the case of like what I was talking about is you have a VPS or a VM in the cloud, and you have a WireGuard connection between there and your home router that's behind their little NAT router thing. And what happens is you have a network that you have an external net IP address on that VM in the cloud, but then you port forward, which really just goes through that WireGuard connection to your home router, which you then route a port through. You punch a hole through there to the service that you want to do. So it's kind of cheating and getting around that carrier grade NAT by having a tunnel.
Okay, and excuse the ignorance, but so there exists a place that has a genuine IPv4 address, and you're routing to that, and then that's going to perform the you know, everything will be NATed from there, and your private network. Now, so that's not IPv4, you know, or just regular IP addresses. They have their own addressing or something that run around on that tail net. I'm thinking, or do they use classic, you know, non-routable 192s or 10 dots or something like that? Or do they have their own schema for identifying everything on the tail net?
Yeah. All the devices get these randomized numbers, like they're 100 dot addresses or something like that. They're just internally routable between each other. So it's kind of like if you're familiar with turning on a VPN, you basically are turning on a VPN client on, like, say, your Windows machine or your Mac or whatever, and then it gets an IP address, and it's part of the mesh network with all your other devices. So they have their own private IP ranges. You can do whatever you want. I have a lot of the stuff with my All-Star node and things like that. They're all running with this mesh network between those. So for example, I need to have a connection to the digital server, the URF, right? I have a tunnel, or they both have tail scale addresses, so they can find each other. They're able to, like, circumvent firewalls, all kinds of stuff, because they're all able to punch through and all that stuff. But you could be in like a corporate environment though, where they may not allow that through. They might filter it and things like that. But for all intents and purposes, I'm on a private network. And then you can have what they call an exit node. So I could say, okay, I want all my internet traffic to go through my exit node, which might be a VM in the cloud, and that's how I'm doing, that's how I circumvent the All-Star issue with the IP addresses changing. I always have a externally facing IP address that's the address of a VM in the cloud, but all my traffic is going, you know, through that out to the internet, and so that's how you get around it with their antiquated way of authenticating users.
Yeah, okay, I mostly see it. So, okay, cool. So there's ways around all this. I mean, it sucks that we have to play these games and figure this stuff all out, but it is what it is. And we'll just chalk that up to we just don't have enough IP space. So there's that. We'll, where's this ambulance going? We got an ambulance. Man, oh man, I've never seen an ambulance. I'm pulled over, and this ambulance looks like they're going about 25 miles an hour. Everybody's all pulled over while this thing just lollygags along. Weird.
Maybe they have like a neck injury or something. They got to be careful. I don't know.
That guy's health is not worth my being 2 seconds late to get where I'm going. Anyhow. All right, well, cool. I'll be watching anxiously. And then I got to get with Fred and I got to talk to him because I'm already running zero tier on a lot of stuff. So, I mean, you know, I don't want to be gobbling up IP addresses there. And there are certain limitations I got to find out about. So, but, you know, if I'm already running that anyhow, or maybe, you know, I can run that for the 44.net stuff and then I can do my own thing on that or something, you know, so I'll have to talk to Fred about that. Because I'm already running it, you know, and I'm already using it for the 44.net stuff, maybe it makes sense for me to just put my own little thing there.
Yeah, the other way you could get around this, too, is your good setup. I don't know if you pay for one of those VPN. Remember how we were, like, I got Surfshark, for example. I'm wondering if you went through their stuff, that would give you a sufficient external IP address that doesn't change. You know, it's a randomized one, and it would only be good for that session, but it might be stable enough so your IP address isn't changing and your All-Star nodes get disconnected, but that's a lot of work to do that.
Yeah, I am running Surfshark I do have it, and I'm running it on a few things, but you know, then I would either have to have my nodes connect up behind something, or I'd have to run Surfshark on each of the nodes, and I suppose it's available, you know, for Debian 12. You know, because then I'd have to end up putting that on each of the nodes. You know, this is where I get a little, you know, I'm probably making bonehead assumptions here or something.
Yeah, it would be easier to draw it, I think, like on a whiteboard than to try to describe it over the radio. But it's like, just think of it as a tunnel. You just got these tunnels, and you pretend like the things don't exist in between, and the tunnel just really is just your route out to the internet. But in order to have that tunnel, there's all these things that need to be in place between it.
Yeah. No, I'm just more wondering about, you know, if Surfshark, whatever, would work, would it be as simple as just running that on the node? If it, you know, I assume it can be done. If it was that simple, then, you know, when you fire up the node, it's going to acquire a Surfshark IP, and then it'd probably be stable at that point. That might be the simplest solution of all, right?
Yep, I mean, I don't have the absolute answer yet, you know. So, I mean, if you want to tinker, go ahead and tinker, too. I don't know what I'm doing yet. I'm going to try to find it. I'm going to be I have theories, and I have things I want to try, but I'm sure I'm going to be running into some roadblocks.
Oh, you know damn well you'll figure it out, because you do everything. So, yeah, no, I'm just, it's just fun, food for thought, just hashing it out. But, I mean, we could talk about that, or I could, you know, I could tell you how many corn kernels were in my poop last night.
Yep, or how many pit stops you had to make.
Yeah, I think I'm going to monkey with that, though. I think I'm going to see if I can install Surfshark on one of my nodes. I'll try the Weissbox one first. That one sits at the house. And see if that's the simple solution. If that's a simple solution, heck yeah. I just do that. I mean, I know I could just zero tier and do the 44 net, you know, but then I gotta gobble up IP addresses for every device I want. Although I'm probably going to have every one of my nodes eventually on the 44 net. And I got three of them in particular. And I can reuse, even if I just had two and I just reused. Well, no, I could see having three of them on the air at any given time. I don't know. I got to think it all out. As do you. To be continued. We'll have some, it's our next Rubik's Cube.
Yep. No, I mean, if you go scour the internet, other people have already had this problem and solved it. So it's just a matter of filtering in what's the recent information. But all signs point to you got to do some kind of, you want port forwarding into your home lab. You got to have some kind of external gateway somewhere out on a VPS, and some people suggested creating a free Oracle VPS, which I don't trust Oracle, or finding something like a Linode $5 node. So, I mean, you're just going to have to do it right. You're going to have to spend money. Cloudflare's also got tunneling, but it's only for HTTP traffic and like SSH traffic and remote desktop traffic. They don't let you do just any TCP, or if they do, you got to pay for it. The other thing I thought of is maybe you can get their business internet version, and maybe they do have external IP addresses, because businesses need external IP addresses. So I bet you if you can figure out to get onto a business plan somehow, might cost more, might cost less. I don't, are about the same. But I bet you they give you IP address that way.
Yeah, I thought I heard somebody say that was a solution for at least, you know, whatever their problem was. So, but, cool. What would we do if we didn't have these things to figure out? We'd actually be productive and get things we need to get done. All right, I'm just turning onto my street. I'm going to get home and figure out what awaits me here this evening. After yours, W8FQ.
Yep, I know what awaits me around 11 o'clock. That's when my wife and three girls come home, and because they're friends with them. And it's going to be tornado time. So I'm going to enjoy the peace while it lasts. Talk to you later, KFA Des.
Oh, just real quick, did they get a car and are they on their way back, or what? How'd that work out?
Yep, they're on the way back, and I guess the whole area has shortage on rental cars. Everybody wants to get out of St. Louis. They don't want to come back. So they weren't allowing the cars to go out of state, but then they found Avis Rental would allow them to take it out of state one way. So they just have to turn it in tomorrow by noon. So they're on their way. They'll be back around 11, I think, and then they'll turn the car in tomorrow, which means I'm going to probably have to give them a ride. But all right. Yep, that's the situation.
All right, glad you didn't have to pony up and head out there. Okay, catch you later. W8FU.
KFA Des.
This is W2PUT Mobile Listening. KBB.
AFACWP Monitor.
WAHBX, WAHBX, KFAAP.